This is exactly right.
Hi, I'm Erin Welsh.
And I'm Erin Alman Updike, and we're the hosts of This Podcast Will Kill You on Exactly Right.
We're back with our seventh season, which is bigger and better than ever.
Because guess what? We're now a weekly show.
This season, we're tackling everything from long COVID to norovirus, from the supplement industry to IVF, and so, so much more.
New episodes drop every single Tuesday.
Follow This Podcast Will Kill You wherever you get your podcasts.
Perfectly clear when you're a guest in my home. You gotta come to me empty-handed. I said no gifts, your presence is presence enough. And I already had too much stuff. So how do you dare disobey?
Welcome to I Said No Gifts. I'm Bridger Weiniger. We're in the backyard. I'm having the time of my life. I'm already having the time of my life. I hope you are too. You're scrubbing out the inside of the microwave. You're tiling the roof. I don't know what you're doing. That's none of my business. You know, you get to peek in at me. I don't get anything from you. And so we're just going to move into the podcast before I get upset. I love today's guest. He's just terrific. Oh, it's Liam Garrow.
Bridger babes.
Liam.
Wait a minute. We have to say, the moment that has led us here, some have said this is history, but more importantly, some have also said this is herstory.
First of all, herstory.
It's first of all
herstory. Herstory first.
Yes. Oh, my God. It is a delight to be here. It's so nice to see you. I should say also, like, in the flesh and having you.
We've
not just
never
be
met,
like,
in person.
Well, you are no longer a person that just lives on my phone. This is fantastic.
I'm now a full, realized 3D human being.
And I'm going to say something, and I'm sorry to be this way about people when you're like, oh, when you see someone in person and then you give, like, a comment about how they read versus how they, you know, in person versus online, you have the most piercing blue eyes. And I don't think that reads enough on camera, and I'll just say that. And like to be honest, like, when I saw you, I was like, I was struck by that.
You were frightened.
I almost did a 180 out of here. And I said, I don't care that I was in a nightmare Uber ride of my life on my way over. I'll get back in that car
with
Michael. You
were calling him.
I said, Michael, we're doing a loop. We're doing a 180 pivot and we're going back to Hollywood Hotel. And I know that we're in the time machine, so room 308. I don't care who knows. Just
yeah,
try and
go
kill
to 308.
Me. Yeah.
But you are in town. You're visiting.
I am indeed.
Hollywood Hotel. What is the situation happening there?
It sounds simultaneously fancy and like maybe you would die there. Let me explain. So first of all, when you walk into my room, is there a smell of a wet towel? Of course. Was it there the moment I arrived? Absolutely.
There was just a wet towel.
Here's the thing. That would have made sense. There just was the smell. And so I do have a slight concern of, like, am I inhaling black mold? Am I slowly being poisoned? Mm-hmm. Am I going to die? And I mean, here's the thing. If it's my time, it's my time. But I've stayed at this hotel before, and it's always been, I have to say, a lovely experience. The rooms are always very clean. Previously to this, I've never encountered a smell. And also, I'm going to say this too, bang for your buck. Great location. I'm not even sponsored by them, I have to tell you.
I feel like you're going to get a free night or something for the complaining and promoting.
And I'll take it for either. Honestly, I would like a free night for both the complaint and the promotion.
Ooh,
I want to. So yeah, I'm in town. Love LA. It's one of those cities, I have to say, where every time I'm here, I'm like, ugh. The thing about LA is that it's like, it's almost a city that works. Does that make sense? You were like, it almost.
Almost.
It, for all of its advancements, you're like, oh, LA has so much, but still disgusting drinking water. You know what I mean? Like water out of the tap.
Okay.
Like,
well.
I'm sorry. I'm just like, you know, and even I was joking about it before we hopped on the mic, but you know, I was in this Uber ride over. And I have to say, from where I'm staying to your place, it should have only been a 25-minute ride. But Michael behind the wheel, let me tell you something. He was living in Let God, and his version of that is driving under the speed limit and turning a 25-minute ride into a 40-minute one. And here we are.
Driving under the speed limit on the freeway? Oh, it's so dangerous.
I didn't feel good about it. And then he had the audacity when someone was like at an intersection to turn. They were like taking just a bit too long to turn. And he goes, ugh. And I'm like, Michael, you have not earned this. You've not earned this. You think you're the good driver, but Michael Dziva, you are not. And that's not okay.
Oh, I feel like the key to Uber driving is getting there as quickly as possible. I mean, call me crazy.
Well, and I am about to, so get ready. But like, I also, my like vision of any, be it a cab and or Uber and or Lyft situation is I think I have the kind of standard where I think every like trip in the backseat of a car is going to be like a scene from an 80s movie where like, no, the cab driver, Uber driver, they know this city like the back of their hand and they know all the places to get to, you know, take you to where you need to be. And then you get in there and they're like, hey, so I actually live like an hour outside of town. I seldom drive in LA.
So people are driving in from Riverside.
They're like, your guess is as good as mine. Mm-hmm. We are just going to listen to Waze. And you're like, I love that. And of course, because I'm not from here, I can't be like, take St. Vicente. Like, I have no...
You're a prisoner back there. You're just doing whatever they want.
And that is kind of how I felt, because also his passenger seat was lodged way back close to me.
And oh, so you were in the pass... Oh, I guess you... I mean, no, you're like, not I'm, sitting so, behind the driver.
Yeah, I'm sitting in the back seat... kitty corner to the driver.
You have to do that. If you're alone in an Uber, you're not going to sit directly behind the driver.
No.
Unless you're giving them a massage or something.
Or going to strangle them with a tie.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And both can happen, by the way, at the Hollywood Hotel. And that's another thing I want to plug about that place.
You could be killed at any point.
And I think that's kind of like the fun vibe about LA in general, is when you step outside, you know for sure you smell dog poop and you could die at any moment. And that's another thing about LA too, where it's almost a city that works. When you see excrement on the ground, I'm also going to say something else 8 out of 10 times, you know it's a humans.
Look, I'm going to defend LA for a moment.
Say it.
I've seen human excrement on the subway in New York.
Well, New York is no city to compare it to. I mean,
well, if we're talking about functioning cities.
I mean, this is true. And also, I mean, listen, I come from Vancouver, Canada, which is like, it's kind of not fair because it's an unusually clean city. And as someone who's like lived in dirty cities, I spent 10 years in Toronto, which, by the way, famously they used to call the Big Smoke. Let that be an indication as to how clean that city used to be.
The Big Smoke?
Yes.
Because of the smog?
Correct.
Wow.
Yeah.
Not a great name.
Not a great name.
Nobody loves that city.
Well, I mean, I had a good time while I was there. See, now I get all defensive about it. But so, I mean, so listen, I've lived in my fair share of dirty cities. And actually, the reason I knew I had to move is because I was one time walking down the stairwell into the Ossington subway station. And there was, and listen, I say that this is value neutral. I don't say this to indict this man. Obviously, someone struggling with mental health problems, but was standing astride an emptied grocery bag, openly defecating.
Okay, right.
And I said, well, it's time for me to go.
Mm-hmm, that's a good sign.
And I left the next morning.
What?
I said, I'm packing up my life. I said, I can't do this.
Wait, so you're currently living in Vancouver?
I am. Yeah, I'm a pandemic move. I moved in like August 2020.
Wow.
I know.
Where are you from originally in Canada?
So I am like pretty much Ontario based. I was born in my nation's capital, Ottawa. Hold for applause. and then spent the entirety of my 20s in Toronto, spent my teen years living out east on the East Coast, and now have been in Vancouver for the last 3 years.
Wow. Do you think you're going to settle in Vancouver?
It's. I've had people ask me that, and I have my feeling about Vancouver is that it is the right city for me right now.
Well, that's a nice way of looking at things.
Yeah.
Like, I just get to a city, and I'm like, I guess I'll die here.
Yeah.
I don't think beyond dying.
That's so funny you say that, though, because I thought that's what was going to happen to me in Toronto.
Oh.
I was like, I moved there when I was
in Toronto.
Well, I was 19 and I was like, oh, well, I guess this is just where I'll live now for the rest of my life. And I had no sense of my life going anywhere beyond that.
Right.
And so I think also being in my 20s in Toronto was the right move. And I think being 30s in Vancouver feels right also. It's a little more low key of a city.
I've never been to Canada. I don't even know where to start. Let's name the top 5 Canadian cities.
Okay.
I'm going to get you in trouble with Canadians.
There's nothing they can do to me. I'm internationally beloved. Just kidding. I would say number 1, I mean, it's going to seem biased because I'm there currently, but number 1 I'll say Vancouver.
Okay.
Number 2 I'm going to say, and this is a pivot, so ladies get ready. I'm going to say Montreal. Here's the thing.
I have a friend from Montreal.
I was going to ask if you've been, but you've never been to Canada. So, Montreal is sort of like Canada's Europe.
Right, of course.
And it's very, like, it's like you kind of step in there and you're like, oh, this feels like a like a country unto itself. Like it feels, mm-hmm. there's something very, I was going to say provincial, but I guess that's kind of obvious. But like there's something, there is Montreal art. There's Montreal culture. There's Montreal food. There is, right.
Smoking.
All the things. And so I would say Montreal, and then I would say Toronto, and then I would say Halifax. Here's the thing about Halifax. You go for 48 hours because everything that's worth doing in Halifax isn't going to take you any longer
than
that.
I can't even picture Halifax. What's the scene in Halifax?
It's very like, it's very, well, it's a seaside town. Obviously, it's like close to the water, but
right.
It's different than Vancouver. It's much older. So there's something very like arts and crafts about
Halifax. Oh, this sounds
lovely. Like when you go, you're kind of like everything just has like, I don't know how to also describe it, except for everything is just like painted wood. It's everything's like really bright and kind of like it feels almost like you've stepped into like a illustration from a children's novel.
It's a forced charm.
That is exactly right. Where it's like cottagecore but with even less money, if that makes sense.
Now you're getting in trouble again.
I don't care who knows it.
Prince Edward Island. Have you ever been there?
No.
Home of Anne of Green Gables.
I'm familiar.
How have you not gone there?
Well, you know, how have you not gone to Canada, period?
I have no business there.
Well, I have to say, that's also shocking to me that you would have never gone. First of all, let's throw in, just as a number five city, let's say Somerset, Prince Edward Island. Why not?
Okay.
But it's also incredible to me that you've never been to Canada, if not only to, like, perform, to do stand-up, to do...
Nothing. Nothing has ever drawn me there. I want to go. I'm not actively avoiding.
Can I say something, too, about you in Canada? You would thrive. Because they would eat you up there because you have what I can only describe as having old-time gentlemanly manners.
Oh, incredible. Wonderful.
And
appreciate it.
Like, and Canadians do sort of like, we hinge so much of our cultural identity on being polite people.
Mm-hmm.
And because you are like, sort of, I don't know, like, there's something very like early 1900s about you.
I don't know where that vibe is coming from. That can't possibly be true.
It's your cadence. You sound like you could be related to Jimmy Stewart. That's just true.
I don't understand. I get this pretty frequently, and I need some sort of person who studies this type of thing to pinpoint this for me.
Where are you from again?
Utah.
I'm trying to think. Is Utah known as having any kind of regional dialect?
No, it's very flat.
Right. Your accent, if anything, or, you know, yeah, I suppose your accent sort of belies that because you have a real kind of like sprightly animated way of speaking.
Fascinating. Okay. Canadians are very polite. I feel like I would feel like a slob there.
Disagree.
Really? You think I would just be able to blend in?
I would go as far as to say is people would assume, if they didn't know who you were, would assume you just were from there.
Maybe it's time to go.
I would look into trying to perform there just so you can get like a vibe for a city.
Okay. Vancouver seems lovely to me.
And also I'm there, so like we could famously hang out.
There we go. See, the reasons are piling up.
That's
They're
right.
Absolutely piling up. I wonder what the flight... Oh, I mean, I guess I could simply ask you, what is the flight from LA to Vancouver?
Well, in terms of a price point, in terms of length?
Let's go for both. Okay. I mean, I was thinking length, but why not talk numbers?
Okay. If you're going to do the northbound flight, you're looking at 3 hours because you're going against the wind. If you're coming back down south, you're looking at 2.5 because you're going with it.
That's nothing.
It's nothing. It's literally the definition of a hop, skip, and a jump. I mean, when you look up that in the dictionary, it's just a picture of you flying. And then in terms of a price point, I mean, obviously it depends on how far ahead you're booking. I would say round trip, we're looking at like anywhere between $500 to $700.
Okay, that's too much money. Wait, are $500 to $700 Canadian? For
yeah.
a three-hour flight, $500 to
round $700. Round trip.
In U.S. dollars, $500 for a three-hour flight? That's too much money. It's $300 to $400 to get to New York.
Oh, but okay, but that's within your own country.
I don't care. We're talking distance. I don't imaginary whatever the borders. Who cares? That shouldn't change prices.
Well, famously, it does. And I'm sorry to break it to you, but
Annalise
also
is on the case. Let's see here. Okay. We're looking at what does that say?
Okay,
there?
So we've got there's $200 round trip.
$200
I guess I lied to you, hey.
What are we? What?
Sorry,
no one wants to go to Vancouver.
I guess I just fly a little more expensive than you do, is all. I guess I don't
could charter
mind
a private flight there.
Yeah, it's me and Taylor Swift in her private plane, and I'm like, girl, this is a 45-minute trip, and we have to do it. I know this is what you normally do on your own, just to like empty some fuel into the ocean, but we got to go right now.
If it's $200 to get there, I'm going to be there every weekend.
Can I say, I think you would really enjoy it, and I would love to see you there.
I feel like the food there is good. Is that
true? It is an excellent food city. It's very, like, I mean, it's, I would say actually, especially because you're in LA, Vancouver would actually be an incredible jumping off point for you, because I think there are certain tenets of Vancouver culture that really, what's the word I'm looking for, that, that draw parallels between LA.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, for example, Vancouver is very much a city that posits itself as being a wellness city. So you have a lot of people who are like,
I'm familiar.
You know, we're all trying to eat well. We're trying to exercise. I mean, am I a person who wakes up every morning at 5 a.m. to go to the gym? Somehow, yes.
Every morning.
Wouldn't you know it, Monday through Friday, I'm up at 5 a.m. I'm in the gym at 5:30. We're doing it at 45. We're back at home at 6:15. We're taking a shower. We're on our computer to work for 7. I mean, look at this structure I've built for my life.
You are trapped in some sort of... you've got to let go.
But also, this is what I'm saying. It's Vancouver is the right city for this phase of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Was I looking for the structure in my 20s? Of course. Was it any... Did I have anything approaching that kind of structure? No. But I wanted it so desperately. And the fact that I am now... a person in their 30s with a ritual and a routine, it is so comforting to me.
5 days a week.
You look very fit.
Oh, thank you.
You are obviously an exerciser.
I work out, but twice a week. And it is horrible. And I will say that it...
This is going to sound like I'm...
Once made me throw up.
Well, we've all been there. Wait a minute. Did you actually throw up?
Yes. I threw up in the street. I'm just going to... And it was actually very recent. This is a recent development.
Really?
Yes. And now we're revealing it.
Do you mind me asking you some follow-up questions about it?
Of course. I love a follow-up on throw-up.
Okay. What time of day was it?
It was... I usually do early evening, 5 o'clock.
Did you eat beforehand?
No.
Fascinating.
You know what? And this is going to... I mean, people are just going to say he's out of control. There are times I'll schedule my gym appointment for 7 p.m. and I have to eat dinner before that. I'll go to In. This does not reflect well on me, but we're in it now.
Yeah.
I'll go to In-N-Out at 5 o'clock and eat a full meal.
Yeah.
And then I'm working out at 7 o'clock with a giant hamburger and French fries in me.
This is going to sound like I'm placating you, but by that point, you've had 2 hours to digest.
So,
like,
it makes sense then.
That actually, to me, can I be honest? That doesn't bump, to use some podcast lingo, that doesn't bump for me at all. That really doesn't.
I've got to put that in my lingo. I'm going to start bumping nonstop.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think that's absolutely the right thing to do. You need energy before you work out.
Okay, so you're supporting this.
No fucking question am I supporting
that. I love to hear this. Because every time I go, I feel like, oh, this is dangerous behavior. What am I doing? But I have to do it because it's the only way I can do it.
Listen, my thing is this. If they recommend that you wait half an hour before jumping into a pool, 2 hours.
2 hours. It's stirring around in your stomach. It's been chewed up. It's digesting.
It's masticated. My God. Oh, no, okay. I think that's the right thing to do.
And I'm getting a little bit of caffeine, which I think I need.
Do you think that's what prompted the throw up?
What, the eating or the caffeine?
Well, I know you didn't eat beforehand, so do you think it was the caffeine?
No, I think it was just the sheer intensity of the workout. And I had been gone for 2 weeks and
had essentially been
sitting on a plane for 10 hours a day before. So it was not a good...
I think it was just like a shock to your system,
It was a bad idea on my part.
Right.
And I've injured myself, and that's another thing that's happening. I hurt my back. I mean...
Are you dealing with a hurt back right now?
It's getting better. I mean, this is just becoming the pity hour, but yes, some back pain.
I want to say this to the listeners at home who also can't appreciate Bridger's physical stature. The fact that you only exercise 2 days a week to me is alarming, because you keep it right and you keep it tight. Like... Guns for days. I mean, like, I didn't realize this was like an open and carry state. I'll say that. But like you're in incredible shape, Bridger.
I'm telling you, they made me throw up.
Oh, got it. So
only once though. And I hope it's not the beginning of some sort of pattern where I'm constantly throwing up in the street. I don't want to become that person. It's constant, you know.
I mean, it is unfortunately a way to keep the weight off. I hate to break it to you, but it just is.
The half a granola bar I ate at 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
Get out.
Oh.
How did we get to me throwing up in the gutter?
Exercise.
Exercise, fitness, Vancouver.
Vancouver.
You're exercising 5 days a week. Vancouver's a wellness town.
Well, and also, oh, and you were like, and I bet you Vancouver's a great food town.
Yes.
And it is. I will say the way that it really suffers, unfortunately, because it is a bit of a wellness town, although so is LA, and the LA, y'all have figured this out. Vancouver, unfortunately, is not a great dessert city. It just isn't.
Oh, I hate to hear that.
Now, Annalise, you're nodding. Have you been to Vancouver? Do you agree with this? You do.
You had bad desserts or no desserts?
No dessert.
Oh, Annalise has had no desserts.
Well, yeah. To me, it's just like, And it's fun. And again, L.A., you have really figured out
donut. Oh, I can tell you desserts galore.
And specifically, you guys have figured out donut culture here?
Oh, I can tell you. Well, I have some. I have a lot of opinions on the donut culture
here. Well, same. And I have strong opinions about the donut culture in Vancouver. And regrettably, they are lost. They need some direction. Let me ask you this. When you get a filled, like a jelly donut, like a filled jelly
or
donut.
Or like a Boston cream. Obviously. Let's not leave that off the table.
But no, specifically, I want to ask about the jelly one. Okay. Because when you get a jelly donut, what do you prefer? Do you want it to, hang on. Do you want it to be coated with a raw granulated sugar or a powdered sugar?
Oh, interesting.
Annalise, mouth your answer.
And I'm not going to look.
Yeah.
Annalise is, okay, interesting.
Are you out of your mind? What is your answer?
Can I look up my favorite one? I'm trying to remember if it has that yes. type of sugar. I go to a place called Kettle Glazed Donuts.
Okay.
And it's so delicious.
And also, listeners, don't worry. I will tell you what Annalise revealed to me. Like, I'm just sitting on it. But just so you know, I'm almost about to get in the backseat of that Uber with Michael again. I swear to God, I'm about to bulldoze out of here.
I wonder what's going to happen when I answer.
This could destroy
the entire podcast.
This is already becoming a bit of an unsafe space, if I'm being honest.
Okay, I'm looking at their donuts. I'm flying through Yelp. I'm looking for my preferred jelly donut. What are they serving here? And I think that this may be a twist. It may not even be the right answer in either direction.
Oh, because are you thinking glazed?
I like a glazed. Okay, so, they make an excellent glazed donut, and they make their own jam. I can't recommend this place enough, and the price point is perfect. I love Kettle Glazed.
So if you had a jelly-filled donut, would you prefer that the exterior of the donut...
Powdered.
Thank you. And honestly,
this was a granulated
like a lunatic psychopath.
Oh, I can't even... Where have you had that?
Just around.
I feel like I've had it at like a Dunkin'. Like, I don't think it's that uncommon. Well, I've never had it with a powder.
I picture a powder. That's
the quintessential, I'm sorry to say, obviously a cap, but it's the quintessential cop donut.
It is a certain, yeah,
like
definitely.
The powdered jelly donut.
Yeah,
and are you so ACAB that you won't eat that jelly donut? That's actually huge.
Let's say yes. Sure.
Yes, absolutely. Well, it's because my thing about granulated sugar is I know that powdered sugar is just like blended granulated sugar. I know this.
Yeah, but I mean, it creates a textural difference.
And also, my mental illness is I think if it's powdered, then it's less sugar.
Oh, interesting. You feel like somehow the spreading of it is like. At an atom level,
yes.
Making less sugar on the donut.
And I will say this, when I eat a powdered sugar that is, or rather when I eat a filled jelly donut that is powdered versus granulated, when I eat the powdered one, I don't feel sick afterwards. Whereas when I eat the granulated one, I do.
You feel
Annalise,
sick.
Because to me, I think it is, I bet you it is more sugar. I bet you anything.
Interesting. I would almost say it's less because those granules are big.
Well, I have to go.
They're taking up space on that donut.
I'm going to call Michael. I'm getting the backseat of this Uber. This is a nightmare.
But Vancouver is doing all of their donuts in a granulated sugar.
A lot of them, like the jelly-filled ones, regrettably, yes. And a lot of people drag me for this in Vancouver, and this is a very Vancouver-specific reference, so I apologize to the listeners, but like... The place I go to for my donuts is this chain spot in Vancouver called Brekka.
Okay.
Which is like not like there are more mom and pop, more like niche artisan places to get a donut. But let me tell you something. They figured it out and I don't think they should ever, ever, ever be discounted. I think they are the place to go for a donut.
Well, it sounds like a mini chain to me.
It is a mini chain.
I feel like mini chains can be trusted in some situations.
Not if, but when. You come to Vancouver, mm-hmm. Two things. We're getting dinner, and then we are going to get a donut from Brekka.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that we're going to follow it up with breakfast.
And listen, we're gonna have dinner, we're going to have a crazy night, and then 6 a.m. will roll around, and we're going to find ourselves a 24-hour diner and just do it all over again.
Okay, I trust you. I feel like you know donuts. You have strong opinions. Brekka, Brekka?
Cut out that second K.
Oh.
We're working with the single K girls.
Brekka. Woo. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to figure out why it's called Brekka.
And you know, so funny, in spite of how many, truly at this point, thousands of dollars I've given them in my business, I've never thought to inquire because you know what? The product is so solid, I don't second guess.
Are you getting a coffee there?
Nope.
Oh.
I will. Oh, you don't. Oh, okay. First of all, just so I can really explain my mental illness to you, I am a person who will have donuts delivered to my home.
Oh boy. That's crossing the line for me. Okay. I have to go. First of all, I need to see the donut before I put down money for it.
But let me say this. Isn't it a testament to the product that I know I can deliver Brekka and it's always going to be good?
Wow.
And I don't need to see it beforehand. And sure enough, when it shows up at my front door, it's exactly what I think it's
going to be. And how many are you ordering to be delivered?
That's kind of actually none of your business. No, you want to know something? I'm like, no, you know what? I'm going to be honest and vulnerable. I will order 3 donuts to my apartment.
That seems like if it was one donut, that would be like a Taylor Swift private jet level of waste.
Right.
But 3 donuts, because you're not going to order a dozen for yourself. You're going to be throwing them away.
Yeah, that would be crazy. And I definitely have never done that. Guys, the pandemic was dark. But no, I feel like 3 is good because then you get like, listen, you're going to get like a different donut.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting a variety. Obviously, because it's me, every donut that I'm getting is going to be a filled donut, but it's like a different kind of filled.
Any type of chocolate happening?
Get ready.
Oh, no.
Okay, so they have your quintessential gorgeous Boston cream, which obviously is on the menu. Okay. Obviously. They also do it's like eating a cloud. They have a powdered sugar Nutella-filled donut.
Oh.
Delicious.
Now, I'm kind of on record as saying Nutella's too sweet.
Which is surprising to me because it's famously more nutty, I think, than it is sweet.
I don't know what's going on there, but the way my mouth reacts to Nutella is I think, I'm like, this is frosting.
Is this like it's like you're on a lease with the granulated sugar. It's like, for whatever reason, it's just like, it's something you either are or aren't on board with.
It might be, I think it's genetic.
You're like, my mother hated Nutella. My grandmother hated Nutella. What's your thoughts on a caramel situation? Because caramel is a very divisive flavor profile.
And it's also a wildly inconsistent product.
Correct.
I mean, and I'm going to say caramel. I have to be true to myself. Well, I'm not being true to myself because I say both. Which is not right. It's not fair to anybody.
Well, because you just want to make friends, and you don't want to anger anybody.
And it depends on the situation. Sometimes, if I'm like at a nice bakery, I'm like, I can't say caramel here. They're going to think I'm trash. Caramel.
Do you find though that have you traveled to the South in the States?
I've been to Tennessee.
And do you find that when you're in a place like Tennessee, you can just say caramel and feel safe?
Oh yeah, Utah,
yeah, for
I'm
sure.
safe. Basically, the Mountain West, California, you're. Well, California's tricky because everyone here is a transplant.
Right.
And so everyone brings their own little problem with the caramel. But as far as the food itself, I'm generally on board.
Because they do a filled donut at Brekka. It's a dulce de leche.
Oh.
And I have to say, I am not a caramel fan.
Mm-hmm.
And I do really enjoy that donut.
Okay, then that must be good. That's a good... See.
It's a solid product. And when you think about, okay, first of all, if Brekka's business does not boom after this, and they deserve it.
They're going to go straight out of business.
I
permanently
no.
closed.
I mean, listen, only because they run out of stock. That's why. That's why. Between this and Hollywood Hotel, think of what I'm helping to do for small businesses everywhere.
I would love for this podcast to drive a small business out of business.
If there's a small business that you could pick to go out of business, which one would it be? Let's all say it. Let's all say our small independent mom and pop store that we want to run out of town.
I mean, I could name several dentists and optometrists.
Oh.
We're not going to do it. I've complained about all these people enough, but I did have an optometrist who took my contact directly out of my eye. And I think that maybe there's a health code being violated or something there. They should be put out of business.
That to me is like when... This is going to be a weird... This is just where my brain went, but just follow this logic for a second. It's kind of like if you are a parent, you become so desensitized to germs and like bodily fluids because you're just constantly dealing with it all the time that you then think you can just engage with the rest of the world.
Oh,
and they're, do you
interesting.
Know what I mean? It's
yes.
like for that optometrist, they're like, well, I deal with people's eyes, so I'll just get that. And you're like, no. Like in the same way that as an adult parent, like you don't need to like bring a hanky to my nose. Like I got it.
Exactly.
Like I got
That's
it.
Exactly what was going on.
Oh.
You don't pluck something out of my eye. No.
Not without your permission.
Without my permission.
And that's...
And the mood has to be right.
If there's not at least 10 lit candles, then this isn't going to work.
Liam.
Yes.
We've got something else we have to talk about.
Oh.
We absolutely have something else to talk about. Look.
Okay.
I was excited to have you here today. I thought, bare minimum, we'll have a fine time.
Yes.
It could go all over the place, or, you know, there could be an explosion. You never know. But mm-hmm. I thought we're going to have a good time.
Right.
Liam's so sweet. He's so funny. We're going to have a nice time. So, you know, the podcast is called I Said No Gifts. And so emails have been sent, exchanges have been made. I mean, I feel like this title has been run by you. Mm. So I was a little surprised. First of all, you were late, and so I was already,
wow,
you know, running hot.
Wow. We explicitly said, though, that was Michael's fault.
Annalise was kind of scratching your name out of future guests.
Oh, interesting, Annalise. Interesting how two-faced you are, Annalise.
And then here comes strike two.
Okay.
Liam skipping into the backyard, mm-hmm. Holding what, at least from my, where I'm standing, mm-hmm. is a gift.
Can I say where the confusion was?
I would love some clarity.
Famously, I'm not great at reading emails.
Okay.
I was so sure you're going to die when I tell you this. I thought the podcast was called Please Now More Gifts Now Please with Bridger Weiniger.
It's the same set of letters, essentially.
And so here I was thinking, if anything, kind of weird that he would demand that a guest bring him a gift. That's where my brain went. Okay, I'll say right. that.
And I don't blame you.
And so, I mean, But listen, in keeping with my polite Canadian nature, who was I to question you? And here you are hosting me in your gorgeous, you know, home, your backyard.
Doing everything I can.
You got me water with ice, everybody. Mm-hmm. Hello. So I thought, listen, of course I'll extend the gesture. I will, you know, follow along with the protocol of this podcast. I will get you a gift because obviously the title demands it. And I really, you know, I messed up.
Okay.
I messed up.
You're owning it.
And I think that's the bravest and most honest thing I could do.
And it's also very professional. You may not be a professional in email.
No.
You may be falling way behind in that sector.
Yeah.
But here you are. You're bringing a real class with the apology, the owning. And then there's this gift and it's like, I don't know. Should we open it here on the podcast?
I mean, if you don't mind... You know what I think we should do, though?
Go ahead. You're making all these calls now.
I think you should close your eyes when I give it to you, and then I'm going to give it to you, and then you're going to open your eyes.
Okay. But you're going to hand it to me in the bag it came in.
Yes.
Okay.
No question.
And should we say what bag it's in right now?
Famously, it is very much in a Macy's bag. And did I buy your gift at Macy's? No. Why? Let me explain. I also am not great at reading wedding invitations. So here's what happened. I came into town, as I mentioned, I think earlier, for a wedding. And if I didn't, now we all know. And there was a dress code that I definitely did miss. And they specifically were like, we don't want any cream-colored clothes. Bad news. That is exactly what I brought for the wedding.
That's asking a lot.
So Jake and Becky, they're allowed to do whatever they want. It's their big day.
Jake and Becky, I'm not on your side.
Hello. Well, and listen, you said it, not me. But the point is, I am meeting them for dinner after this. Anyway, so I bulldozed over to Macy's, bought myself a blue suit, as one does.
Wow.
And ahead of the Macy's purchase... because I thought you were demanding a gift, I went over to a little special place. So, Bridger, now is the time. Close your eyes.
I'm closing my eyes.
Get ready to receive.
Should I put my hand out here?
Yeah, I think that's perfect. Get ready to receive the Macy's bag.
Okay.
Okay, he's holding it.
Shall I open my eyes?
Okay, I'm going to hold your mic to your face.
Okay, you're holding the mic. Yeah. I love what's happening. Yeah. Okay, and I'm reaching in.
For ASMR, he's really getting into the bag. He's getting into the bag.
Shaky. Yeah. Okay, I'm feeling.
Okay.
I mean, should I guess?
Oh, that's fun. What do you think it is?
I mean, from what I'm feeling, it's a square wrapped in plastic that's about, I would say, 14 inches by 14 inches.
Oh, my God. First of all, if that's the accurate math, that is incredible.
We should check later. I'm very good at estimates. I'm going to say, there are two things I want to guess, but I'm going to lean into this is a record. Opening?
Dun, 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 dun. Flip it over.
It actually... Oh, my God. I'm just falling apart looking at this.
Are you?
I love this album.
Should we reveal what it is?
It's Fleetwood Mac's Tusk.
Now, let me ask you a question. Do you own a record player?
I don't.
Well, and then this gift is a bust. But listen...
No, but look. To just own this? This is my favorite Fleetwood Mac album.
Mine, too.
It is the best one.
It is.
They're all, I mean, they have, They're of course, wonderful. So many good albums.
And listen, Rumors deserves its flowers for all of the obvious reasons.
Of course.
But here's the thing. If you're a real one, this is the best one. And I want to say something else. When I was rummaging through bins trying to find one, they had multiple copies, and I did exert the due diligence in picking out the one that was the less water-damaged one. So I really...
This is a used album.
I believe it is.
That's amazing. This may be, for all we know, this is like an original.
For all we know, there are trace amounts of cocaine on the liner notes of that album.
I'm so thrilled about this. Where did you get it?
It was from a little like secondhand store. God, I wish I could remember the name of it. It's like in downtown LA. When you walk in, there's an enormous mannequin with a like peacock feathered dress.
Okay.
And you walk in and it feels like all of a sudden you're stepping foot into a warehouse.
Oh.
Like the owner of the store is, this is absolutely true, was just like openly rolling joints at the counter. 100% true. And he just like sat himself inside in front of like an industrial sized fan.
Okay.
It's hot in there. I get it.
Sure, sure.
Not a lot of air circulation.
Somewhere in the warehouse.
Absolutely. And so I went there and because it was going to be either this one or I was going to get you a Linda Ronstadt record.
Oh, interesting. Now, I wouldn't have been as excited.
And then I'm so glad I got you this one.
I would have thought, I'm not as familiar with Linda. This will be nice.
Well,
this feels like a memento.
And I'm not a religious person, but this is really, you know what this is? Mama, that's God.
We finally found proof.
This is the fact that I could have, and did, by the way, search out Linda Ronstadt records. And then I happened upon this one. Literally, I was like, I went to this record store thinking I was so certain I was going to get you like Living in the USA or Mad Love.
Mm-hmm.
And then sure enough, this quite literally essentially jumped out at me. And I was like,
kind of levitated.
Yeah, just with Stevie Nicks' witchy powers. And I thought, wouldn't it just be an absolute scream if I got him Fleetwood Mac's Tusk? And now here we are.
Thank God I don't own a record player, because then I would already own this and it would be a double. And then suddenly I'm dealing with doubles.
And really, when you think about it, it would be a quadruple. Because why? That's a double album.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Too much vinyl happening.
That's right. It famously, I believe at the time, now this is 1979 numbers, mm-hmm. but I believe at the time, it was the most expensive record ever made. It cost $1 million, which in 1979,
about $250 million.
Right.
And you can take that to the bank.
That's exactly right. And listen, as we've established, you're great with estimates and numbers. So I'm sure that's exactly right. And so this is a very, you know, there's a lot of like lore and this is a very, you know, storied record. And so, I mean, I love it. And I just thought, you know what? I want you to have it.
Can you tell us a little bit more about this album? I feel like the only thing I really know is that there was like an attempt to there was some punk influence on it.
There was a bit, yes, but it's not overt. I think what really happened with this record is, you know, Lindsey Buckingham famously is like sort of the mastermind behind all of their records. He's like the head honcho producer. And after the enormous success of Rumors, I think he really wanted to strike out and do something really musically different, which is why, you know, this record as it compares to Rumors, I would say is much more rougher around the edges. Mm-hmm. Sonically, I think, you know, even in terms of its subject matter, it's a little darker.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's kind of like Rumors, but without its polish and its sheen, which is why I like it. There's something a little more pared down about it. And so this was a record, I believe, that took them a year to finish making.
And was it contentious?
It was.
Was it ever not contentious with this?
Imagine they're like, actually, they got along so good.
It was all about teamwork.
Yeah, and then Christine McVie herself, RIP, coined the term that day in the studio in 1978. She said, guys, this is going to sound crazy, but I just came up with this. Famously, I think teamwork makes the dream work. And they were like...
And they all loved it.
Stevie Nicks lifted herself up out of her like pound of cocaine. She said, did you just make that up? And she's like, I did.
Teamwork makes the dream work does sound like someone on cocaine.
Oh, and this record, by the way, absolutely sounds like a bunch of people on cocaine made it.
Wonderful.
There's a kind of there's like a frenzied nature to it. There's a kind of
it's ragged.
Yeah, ragged. Yes,
there's a raggedness to it. I would say
that is exactly the right word.
Everybody, I mean, if someone hasn't heard this album, they've got to listen to it.
100%. Do you now? Given that you are already familiar with it, are there songs on the record that already kind of like speak to you that are some of your favorites?
I love The Ledge. I think The Ledge is so good. I mean, it's hard for me to say. I mean, Tusk is an incredible song.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like I have a number one favorite. Whenever I put this album on, I just let it run through.
100%.
I mean, that's kind of my MO for most music.
Well, because I think you and I are like just old enough that's how mm-hmm. we grew up listening to music. Like this idea of going to tracks, and it's like, just, I don't mean to make it sound like we're 80 years old, but I mean like
I'm 98.
Well, and I'm 100 and we look incredible. We've established we're very physically fit because of our routine and our exercise.
And we love our grandchildren.
And we, and God love them, one of them just turned 50. But like I think I think what I am so, yes, struck by with this record is like, it does also emerge from an era where that is how people intended for people to listen to that music, right? Like this idea of singles mindset wasn't really as prevalent. This idea that like, no, you start an album at side one,
right?
You listen to it all the way through and then you flip it and then you listen to that all the way through and then you're done.
It's like a movie or a book.
Yes, yes. It is telling, I'm sorry to say, it tells a story. I know that might sound trite, but it's telling a story.
What's happening with Fleetwood Mac at this point?
You know what's so funny? Literally, I'm not kidding. This morning, Stevie Nicks was giving an interview with Vulture because, of course, Christine McVie sadly
top 25 comedians to watch this year.
She did it. And because, and you know what people love about Stevie Nicks' comedy? It's so vibey. It's really, there aren't any hard jokes, but she really sets the scene. But she just did an interview with Vulture and, you know, Christine McVie, who did pass away recently, very sadly, she just gave an interview saying, like, I don't really think it's worth continuing the band without her.
I mean, sure, of course.
And 100%. And all the, but it, which is interesting, though, because they did actually for many, many years, because Christine McVie left the band in 1998 after that hugely successful reunion tour called The Dance, remember? Okay. Right? And she left the group, oh my God, for like 15 years or something. Like she reunited, or however that math checks out, because she reunited with them in 2013.
Okay.
And then they did, obviously, very successful tours with the original lineup, you know, all five of them. And then Lindsey Buckingham was sort of unceremoniously exiled from the band in recent years.
I think, that's right. I forgot that he was kicked out.
Yes, because I think he and they were all getting some, it wasn't the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It was other some like big career achievement award thing anyway. And I guess the real straw that broke the camel's back was when Stevie was giving her speech. Behind her, Lindsey Buckingham pulled Christine McVie to like kind of do this little waltz and this little dance to kind of indicate that like he thought she was taking too long. And she was like, oh, I do not like that.
Of course.
And so that apparently instigated a major fight and then he was out skis.
The quitting, the firing, like it feels like they've run it like an Arby's. It's like it doesn't matter who's here, just you can in and out and just
it's a soap opera. No, it is a soap opera. And also, by the way, this has happened both times that Lindsey Buckingham has left the band because it happened just recently, within the last handful of years, and it did happen the first time in 1987.
Okay.
He left the band, and both times that he left, they replaced him with two guitarists, which is a testament to his ability that person goes down, they have to replace him with two people.
A little sign, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
I mean, listen, do I think he is probably a problematic person? Yes. Is he also very gifted and skilled at what he does? Absolutely,
of
as
course.
Is evidenced by the Tusk record and many others.
Of course. You know, what's your feeling when a favorite band breaks up for you?
Do you know so funny? I already emerged into my musical tastes with so many of my favorite acts kind of having like either pulled the brakes a little bit on their career or like even with Fleetwood Mac, it's like, bing, we're together, now we're broken up. We're together, we're broken up. But I will say the first band / group that I came up with that when they disbanded, where it actually, it felt like someone punched me in the stomach. And I realize this is going to be a very on-the-nose example, but when the Spice Girls broke up, when Jerry left in 1998.
Jerry left, yes. Let's put it out there. Jerry left.
But also, when the Spice Girls broke up. I mean, like, you know, let's be honest. Like, Jerry was the Spice Girls. And, like, when she left, I remember being a small child, and I was devastated. Like,
actually devastated.
And I could not understand. And I also, you know, through your child's mind, there are so many things that you're kind of like not fully understanding or you don't have the full picture of. Mm-hmm. So there was this picture of her that was printed in my local newspaper, the Ottawa Citizen. And she was like kind of just dressed up in business casual wear because she was really wanting to sort of, springboard sort of more charity work for herself.
Right, she was gunning for the UN or whatever.
Exactly. And that's where this picture was from. She was at the UN and she was like dressed in this business casual outfit. But I, as a child, I didn't understand this. And all I could think was, oh my God, I cannot believe Ginger just left the Spice Girls go work in an office. Like, I was like, I can't believe she's working a 9-to-5 and said goodbye to international fame and stardom just so she could work in a cubicle. Like, I really, that is what I thought. And I was so confused by it.
I kind of remember having that same feeling. And for me, when a band breaks up, there's just this intense worry. It's not even a concern about there not being more new music. It's like, they're not friends anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
My friends aren't friends anymore, and I'm worried about what happened.
Yes. And also, when you're a child, like, there's something so, like, I don't know, when you're a little kid, you think the things that you like are going to be that way forever. And
of course.
It's going to keep going and going and going. And then when it's not, I mean, it's devastating.
A little taste of mortality.
Ain't that the damn truth? I mean, and not to the same degree, but I did have a similar-ish feeling when S Club 7 broke up. I was like, also let this be a sign of the times, because I think two of the members had been like, this is so, like, nothing now, but, like, they were caught smoking pot. They were, like, these young 20-somethings, and they were caught smoking pot. But me, like, 9 years old, I was like, I don't know why they're trying to ruin what they've built. I was like, they're all going to get caught, like, hooked on drugs. They're going to die from pot. Like, I was really legitimately devastated. The irony being that I would grow to love a band like Fleetwood Mac, who literally was funneled by drugs for the better part of 15 years.
Breakup upon breakup upon breakup.
Yes.
Torturous relationship. Do you own a lot of records?
Well, I wouldn't say a lot, but also famously, I don't own a record player. I just like, because I'm also that person, I'm like, I'm such an idiot. I'm like, I'm going to buy one. I'm always like, I'm going to buy one, and I'm going to set the money aside, and I'm going to do it. And when, you know what, here I am, 32 years young, still have not made that purchase.
It's a, I can't open that door. That's the reason. Like, I think the moment I own a record player, my home will be destroyed.
Just because too many records.
It'll just records everywhere. And I did that with books a long time ago, and then I moved to New York, and I realized I can't keep buying these. Well, and now I'm kind of turning the corner because of, you know, the internet is not letting us own anything. And we should probably own as many physical things as we can before kind of claw them away from us.
Yeah, before the grid goes down?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the reason I don't own a record player.
Well, I also, and this is a real testament to my laziness, but I'm sorry to say, I do love just listening to an album through without having to get up.
Oh, sure.
There is something really nice.
Yeah, I mean,
about Bluetoothing a speaker to your phone, opening up Tidal, and then away we go.
It is amazing what the human mind is able to become lazy about almost immediately. Like,
yep.
Not wanting to get up to put a CD in or a DVD or to change the channel.
Correct.
Those things seem, the TV
arduous.
Seems like miles away at this point.
Yes. And that's how I feel about a record player, where I'm like, and also each quote unquote side of a record is like, what, 20 minutes? I'm getting up
is
every...
Is it really 20 minutes? It's got to be a half hour.
Most records go like 45 minutes at the longest.
Wow.
So then, and math tells me if you split that in two, that's approximately 20 some odd minutes per side. So I'm like, every 20 minutes I'm getting up? Oh, I don't think so.
Oh, you're out of breath. You're sweating.
Listen, F45 has done a lot for me, but it has not at all incentivized me to want to get up to change the record.
You don't have the strength.
No, I don't have it. And also, if we're being honest, am I listening to music while maybe like pretty deep into an edible? Yeah.
Yeah, you're stuck to the floor.
Absolutely. I'm horizontal. Well, I always say, like, there is a, edible or not, there does come a point in the day, and it's pretty early, by the way, where I do just need to be horizontal. Like, if I'm being entirely honest, like, beyond 5 p.m., it's kind of like no go for me. Like, I'm indoors, and I'm really living, like, my FDR fantasy. There's a blanket over my lap. I'm sitting down. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I just really, I want to be.
You're in kind of one of those basket wheelchairs.
Yes.
Woven. Wheelchair.
I have a lovely woman pushing me around, uh-huh. You know. It's funny, even before I started like enjoying the occasional edible, I think I already had stoner mindset, because my MO constantly is just like, I want to be like the most comfortable I could possibly be. Like, that is
well, you're in your home.
Yes, but I think like, but to a degree where I will, like, I won't get up to change the record. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, mm-hmm. I think there are people who understand, like, oh, time and place. Like, I'm going to get up now and I need to, there's business to tend to. But, like, when I decide that I'm done, I'm done.
Wow.
I'm done. Remember, I'm ordering donuts to my apartment. Like,
yeah, this
we,
is such
it's all
an opposite lifestyle for me.
Are you
getting up. I'm moving things around. I'm never quite at ease.
Would you describe yourself as being a jittery person?
I'm not jittery unless, you know, of course, caffeine levels go through the roof. And then my hands
then
are shaking.
The
I'm throwing
yeah.
up in the gutter. A lot of problems are happening for me. I am an anxious person.
Right.
So maybe that's kind of driving it. I don't know.
Yeah, you have. Well, because here's the thing. I still have my anxiety, but I definitely am far less anxious than I used to be. So mm-hmm. as a person who also used to be very tightly wound, I relate to this feeling.
Can I ask you, you've said F45 several times,
oh,
and
yeah.
I follow you on Instagram, so I see it on occasion, but I don't understand what F45 is.
Mm.
It's F45.
Yes.
Is it like a boot camp situation?
No. So the F for 45 stands for functional.
Okay.
So basically, it's like functional fitness and then 45 because the classes are only 45 minutes long.
Oh, it's all right there in the title.
It's in the name. And it's just like, it's a HIIT workouts, and you just kind of do this little circuit for 45 minutes. You push your body to its limit and then you go home.
Wow.
And so it oscillates between, you'll do some days that are cardio.
Okay.
You do some days that are strength. And then Diva, wouldn't you know it? Every so often you do a day. That's both. And so it's a real combo situation. So I was so sure I would never be a person that would enjoy any form of physical fitness. And I'm sorry to say, and I know I'm like, this is really me going against my former self. I love it.
Love it. Are they playing music?
Hell yes.
What kind of music? This is a big problem for me.
Well, no. Can I tell you why I also love the location that I go to? Is because like all the trainers there are straight, but they play gay music.
Oh, okay. Well, my current trainers play decent music, but I had to leave a trainer because he was playing Korn. And
no.
Also trying to talk to me about Joe Rogan at every turn.
No.
I'm already mad working out. I don't need more reasons to be angry.
No, let me tell you, there is, and I'm actually going to give him a shout out right now. His name is Olivier. He's a trainer at my gym. Again, straight as an arrow, but you had best believe at 5:30 in the morning, he will blast Kylie Minogue's Padam Padam.
Great.
And then when we're finished the class for the cool down, he dims all the lights and one note he puts on, Shania Twain's You're Still the One. Are you kidding me? A dream. And I say to him every day, I go, Olivier, I want you to know something. You are the embodiment of ally.
He's going to come out to you.
I hope so.
He's just waiting for the right time.
You know what? Can I say, that would so not be off base for me. The amount of straight men that I felt comfortable over the course of my life letting me know about any sexual proclivities they have is staggering. This is absolutely true. I went to a friend's birthday party a few days ago. Within 5 minutes of this person showing up, he was like, letting it be known that he really wanted to make out with me.
Oh, wow.
And then later he was like, oh, well, I can't. And I was like, oh, why? And he's like, I have a girlfriend. And I was like, how and why?
I want to know what time of day this, for whatever reason, I'm picturing afternoon.
No, it was like,
it's an evening.
Yeah. But also not hideously late. I would say like 9 or 10.
And he was just getting into it 5 minutes in.
To say that there was a spark is an understatement.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
And I was like, oh my God, we're going to make out. And then he was like, well, actually we can't. Because here's how he gave me all the information. He goes, oh, we can't. Because actually, I didn't realize this was going to happen, but I actually am meeting someone later. And I was like, oh my God, no problem. And I'm like, obviously I'm smart. So I was like, I'm going to be here for longer. And then he's like, oh, I don't know. Like, we're not. And I was like,
what?
Girl, like, I can't do this dance with you. This is, I can't hold your hand through your life.
To go from being that direct to this wishy-washy.
Can I say, you know what I think it also was? He's a male improviser. And
okay, well.
And I think it's a little also like, yes, he was interested, but also it was a little like him just yes-anding. Does that make sense? Like,
well, it sounds like him saying, well, maybe.
Oh, it's an
That's a good improv technique that people should embrace. Just kind of not making any decisions on stage.
Well, and you know what? As Elaine May used to say, when in doubt, seduce. She always used to say that. If you're in a scene and you don't know where it goes, seduce. And you know what? Maybe that's exactly what he was doing. He's like, I don't really quite know what to do here. So you know what? Let's make out. And then I said, okay. And then he was like, well. And I thought, okay. A nightmare. Absolute nightmare.
We got to play a game.
What shall we play?
We're playing, don't tell me, we're playing Gift Master.
Ooh.
I've gone so good at this. Annalise, I've become a professional. It's amazing. Liam, I need a number between 1 and 10 from you.
I'm going to choose 7.
Okay, I have to do my light calculating.
Okay.
Right now you can promote, recommend, do whatever you want with the microphone. I'll be right back.
Okay. Listeners of apparently a podcast called I Said No Gifts, boy was I'm mistaken about that title. If you have enjoyed even an iota of what you've heard so far, you can follow me across all socials at Liam Garrow. I also have a brand new podcast that maybe Mr. Bridger Weiniger himself will be guesting on. Excuse me. And so that show is called Tell Me Everything. It's where guests come on, such as Bridger, and they're going to bring on their favorite things from pop culture and just kind of riff about it and tell me why they like it so much. And if you want to keep up to date with that show, you can follow my show's Instagram page at Tell Liam Everything. And if you listen to Tell Me Everything and enjoy it, I would rate and review and subscribe to that pod because God knows it makes a huge difference.
Of course. Everyone follow those directions. That was excellent.
Thank you.
That was really, that felt like you had copy in front of you.
And want to know something? I didn't. And want to know how I know I didn't? Because I know already there are a few things I forgot to say, but that's fine.
Is there something you need to say?
Oh, well, just that we have some wonderful guests on the show. And and by this point, by the time everyone's listened, fabulous comedian Garrod Farrelly will have been on the show. And also just around the corner, either just around the corner or maybe an episode that has just dropped, Paul F. Tompkins and Jamie Haddad Tompkins.
Oh, we love both of them.
Adorable. And by the time I think this episode goes wide, I think your episode is like a week away.
Oh, my God.
Coming down the pike.
Anticipation is building. People are freaking out.
And I'm not just saying this to say it to you. You were gorgeous to talk to.
Oh, bless you.
I had so much fun. You were so great.
Well, we'll see how the wider public feels. They might burn me down.
We've had to edit a lot of it out, but I mean, God bless. So now walk me through this game.
Okay, Gift Master, this is how we play. I'm going to name three gifts.
Okay.
And I'm going to name three celebrities.
Yep.
You're going to tell me which gift you'll give which celebrity and why.
Okay.
Okay. That makes perfect sense.
Yes, it does.
Doesn't need to be repeated.
Nope.
Okay, these are the three gifts you'll be giving today. Number one, a golden locket. That's okay. A nice little gift.
Okay.
Number two, singing lessons. That's not a bad gift. Those are expensive. Mm-hmm. Number three, a good scare. So that you'll be giving them a good scare. Mm. And the celebrities are, number one, Russell Crowe.
Okay.
Number two, Barbara Hershey. This is a good list.
Hershey.
Is a good list. And number three, Haruki Murakami. Are you familiar? Japanese author. That's all you need to know.
Okay, great.
Excellent Japanese author.
Okay. I'm going to can I say I already know?
Okay, great.
I'm giving the locket to the author because, and I'll tell you why, because I feel like so much of writing is such like an insular kind of like not always like super appreciated profession. So to be able to like give some, again, to echo your sentiment about having something that's tangible before the grid goes down, like imagine gifting someone a gorgeous little locket and being like, thank you for your work, even though I have no idea who you are. You know? Like, I think
a golden locket is a great, it's kind of a like an elevated candle gift.
Yes.
It's like, I don't really know anything, but this is beautiful and you can do whatever you want.
And also, if someone gave me a locket, I'm like, are we literally in the 1800s and are you about to marry me? Because I will say yes. I'm going to give a good, was that a good scare?
A good scare.
Diva, you know I'm giving that to Barbara Hershey because I just, you know, I want her to feel like at this phase of her life, she can still be surprised because, you know, sometimes when we get older, we have the sense of we know our ritual, we know our routine, we have a sense of who we are. But imagine Barbara Hershey. She thinks she's all just snug and tucked away, living God knows where.
Yeah, where
doing
is Barbara?
God knows what. Well, I mean, listen.
Barbara, reach out.
Barbara, we'd love to have you on the pods. And and so I just think it'd be fun. And I don't want it to be too scary. I don't want her to be like, you know, I don't want there to be any sort of, you know, medical incident.
Okay, okay.
But I just imagine just me jumping out of, you know, out of a bush maybe and just going like, huzzah. And then her going like, oh, and then I'm like, Barbara, it was a gift from Bridger. And then she's like, that Bridger.
She's already writing the thank you note.
Absolutely.
She's running to her desk.
And here's the thing. If any of us saw Les Miserables, absolutely know that Russell Crowe just needs that singing lesson. Because here's the thing. Here's what I appreciate about the vocal. I love the attack. Okay? He knows. Does he have the greatest voice? No. And does that hold him back? No. And that's actually really powerful. That he still hops on that mic and gives it his all. He doesn't sing with his diaphragm at all. It's coming straight from his throat, which is in itself so powerful. And I think we can agree a choice. But like, to me, I just think like, imagine if you took that fervor, had the foundation of a technique, and there it is, technique and skill, and then he could truly be unstoppable. I mean, apparently he's done quite well for himself. This is what I hear, but I still think...
I feel like he's on a downhill slide.
And imagine...
Russell, reach out.
And imagine if out of nowhere... How about this? As like a scenario? Because everyone was kind of like shit-talking his singing from Les Mis, right? Imagine if out of nowhere... He did like a Broadway musical and everyone was kind of prepared for him to be like, oh God, this is going to be good. Russell Crowe. But if secretly he had been taking intense voice lessons for a year and then he just emerged on the stage, like what our generation's fucking Mandy Patinkin. I mean, no one could be Mandy Patinkin. And also
Russell might be able to.
Different voice.
Give him a chance.
You know,
give
who was trying
chance.
To think who was the original guy in Les Mis? He was, and also French Canadian.
Oh, interesting.
Fact.
Was it his final role?
No, and I want to say he played Valjean, But anyway, but I'm, but very similar kind of like baritone-y deep voice type.
Okay.
To a Russell Crowe. So imagine if he emerged as him. There are so many theater nerds that are screaming his name at me right now.
Oh, of course. I mean, they are going to the boards.
I know. But you know what? I can tell that Annalise is doing a fervent Google.
Yeah,
and it's
Annalise
happen.
Is trying. She's on
her,
trying
her brow is furrowed. Her glasses are sliding down her nose. She is ready to go.
I mean, this would change Russell Crowe's career in the biggest possible way.
That's what happens with so many actors. They do, like, once they, arguably, even though he never had, like, a dip in popularity, but, like, even, like, a Daniel Radcliffe, he got, like, such a big push mm-hmm. when he did, when he showed his Wang on stage in Equus, and then when he did How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. And now he's on Broadway again with Marilyn
Monroe.
He's
making all the right moves. I feel like he's making some very smart career moves.
1,000%. And also, what I love about him, too, is, like, it didn't take him a beat.
Not at all.
The second J.K. Rowling came out with her transphobic bullshit, Daniel Radcliffe was also like, so that's not right. And I was like,
Thank you. So easy.
Absolutely. Isn't it so easy to be plugged into your humanity?
Say things that are true.
Yep. And that are decent. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we love him. And we could love Russell. Russell, take the lessons.
Take the lesson. And we would love to. And if you're serious, Russell, I'm going to say this to you. If you're listening, and if you're serious, he is.
He's left a review.
If you're serious, we're serious. And if you really are serious about your commitment to your voice, I'm sorry, I'm looping you into this. Bridger and I will co-sign and pay for your voice lessons.
We will
lessons.
Finance the lessons.
We absolutely will.
Up to $50 an hour.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And 50 Canadian dollars also.
50 Canadian.
Yeah.
So like, actually, I can't do the math of how that
would
work up with a plane flight.
That would be approximately 65 American dollars.
I always hate to see that the Canadian price in a book cover. Always hurts my heart.
Because you're like, God, it could be that, huh?
Yeah.
And then here I am, like, with literal, like, dirt on my face, paying an American price for a book, being like, well, I feel like I'm being robbed blind.
Okay. Excellently played. Beautifully played.
Thank you.
I mean, the pieces, and you don't even know who Haruki is, so, like, you nailed it.
Thank you. Listen, I realize it's a game, but also, I didn't come here to play. Does that make sense? Like...
Okay. Do you have an answer, Annalise? And it's fine if you don't.
I don't know if he was the original one, but I did find a French-Canadian actor named... Oh, gosh, am I going to butcher this?
Nope.
Yes, I am. I mean, Lil Bit. Oh, my God. This is
Lil
rough.
Uzi.
Marien? Marien? No.
No, Ziva, girl. Hang on. Google?
Help me. Okay.
Google? Yes. Okay, hang on.
There's also Colm Wilkinson.
There we go. Colm Wilkinson?
Yes.
C-O-M-B?
C-O-L-M.
Oh, C-O-L-M-B. I think that's what I was thinking of.
Okay.
Is he French-Canadian?
Colm.
Watch, I like totally sent her down the wrong rabbit hole.
He's Venezuelan.
Just a little song while I sing, while I find it. Let's see. Sorry, Colm Wilkinson.
We don't need to know.
Yes, you do.
I actually do. Because here's the thing. If I was a podcast listener and if I didn't find out if Colm Wilkinson's nationality.
He's Irish.
Wilkinson, of course.
Okay, then I'm obviously also thinking of a different actor. Here's the thing. Guys, my Uber ride with Michael really threw me for a tizzy. I don't know. Left from right, up from down. Irish from Canadian. I mean, I'm obviously just on one.
We've got to answer a listener question.
Let's do it.
This is the final segment of the podcast. Mm-hmm. It's called I Said No Emails.
Oh, if I may, are people having the audacity to send you an email?
They're sending emails to isaidnogifts@gmail.com. It's overloaded with requests and questions and problems.
Ludicrous.
They're asking me to step into their lives uh-huh. and, you know, correct or answer questions for them. Will you help me answer a question?
Of course.
Okay, let's read this. It says, Dear Bridger and friend.
That's me.
What would you gift a person who refuses to accept money for their time and talent? And how do you value an act of kindness in order to reciprocate it appropriately? My acupuncture mentor won't accept payment for tutoring lessons and undercharges me for treatments. When anyone asks for acupuncturist or herbalist recommendation, this person is, of course, my number one choice. But it doesn't feel like enough. I could just start supplying her with freshly baked bread and other culinary treats, but again, I feel my debt is far greater than a bit of flour and water. Am I being weirdly capitalist about this? How will I know when I've done enough without giving the impression that I'm asking for more and thus perpetuating the cycle? What would you do in such a situation? With sincere gratitude, and this person has not left their name, they just said basic broke Berliner. A German is amongst us.
There are two things I want to say.
Okay.
One, if you are already having a way to send money to this person, just send them the amount that you want to send them.
Interesting.
So, like, for example...
But they're trapped in this toxic situation with their mentor.
So, first of all, to this broke Berliner, if this is not your situation, I'm sorry, but if you are already paying some stipend to this person, mm-hmm. I'm going to assume there's already some kind point of payment situation that you have set up,
right.
Either through
under
an e-transfer
charge.
Or... Right.
Yes.
So just send them the amount that you want to give them then, and then just follow up with a note of, like... Let's say they're charging you $50 and you want to give them $100. The note that you send with that $100 that you want to give them is, I'm not having a conversation about this.
But now, this is what I have to say. Does that then turn the mentor into an employee?
No.
I feel like the cut rate is like, well, we're friends. So the moment we're paying market rate... Suddenly, we're just in business together.
I have something. So the other part of the thing that I was going to suggest is if this mentor of yours is also going to really be, because here's what you also don't want to do. If someone's going to really assert themselves and saying, like, this is the rate I'm giving you, you're a friend or you're, you know, my protege, blah, 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 blah. You don't want someone to then go through the emotional labor of then having to, like, constantly be like, no, please, no, don't give me that,
right,
don't give me that, don't
right.
give me that, don't give me that. So you know what I would do? So one of two things. Either you pay that forward to the next person where you go, you know what? Someone did me the solid and kind of, I knew they were undercharging me and they were doing me a solid, so I'm going to do that for someone else.
Oh, that's very sweet.
And I'm going to pick a person who I think is maybe struggling financially, or maybe they're not struggling financially, but maybe they have a real kind of like passion for what it is that they're doing, and you want to reward that by being like, I see the direction you're going in, and so the thing that I would like to gift to you is this thing that someone gifted to me. It's kind of paying it forward. The other thing I would say, if you do have this kind of like pseudo-friend relationship with this mentor, pick up the bill at dinner. It's so easy.
Easy breezy.
Yes.
I mean, here's what I'll say.
Go ahead.
This mentor obviously has some sort of hold on Berliner, some sort of control. There's a definite power imbalance.
Yeah.
I said it before, I'll say it again, it's toxic.
Okay.
It's inescapable.
Okay.
The Berliner obviously can't say no to discount rates.
No.
And therefore cannot escape. So what I'm going to say is, here, this is an opportunity for Berliner to take advantage of someone.
Oh.
You're already doing it.
Okay.
So just keep pushing the gas.
Oh.
You don't need to be baking bread. You don't need to be giving gifts. You know, the mentor is getting whatever they want out of this little power dynamic. Mm. They're loving it.
Okay.
That's the gift for them.
I just want everyone to know, Bridger is also stroking a small white cat in his lap as he's devising this plan. Go ahead.
That's all I have to say. The mentor, any gift would be too much for this person. And they would not like it. They love Berliner kind of being in their clutches. That's the payment.
You think the mentor is slightly evil?
I think completely. This acupuncturist mentor, I've never heard of one before, but now I know.
Mm-hmm.
And of course they exist. And I have to now assume they're all manipulators.
Well, they in a way kind of are, because they're jabbing needles into your body that are making you feel things and helping emotions rise to the surface.
True. So they have a working knowledge of manipulation.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
I would say, yeah, Berliner, I'm going to say something to you right now.
Yeah,
I really appreciate that you want to pay this forward and you want to do right and you want to be a good person, and that's all very nice. But do you want to know what's really exhausting, if I was your mentor, is whatever this conversation is. So they don't want to accept it, and mm-hmm. you've extended the offer. They've refused it, and so you leave it alone. And again, you then pay forward that, as Bridger would call it, manipulation to someone else. Or you just pick up the tab when you go for dinner and just be like, again, and you kind of just need to be the assertive adult, and you kind of just need to say, like, I'm actually not having a conversation about this. I'm buying you dinner.
That's okay. Sure.
Listen, I'm not saying you should or shouldn't do Bridger's idea. I'm just saying here's another option.
It's always nice to have a backup, despite how bad it is.
Absolutely.
You've got to just have something in the closet to cook up when you run out of ingredients.
And you know what? To this Berliner, if you really feel like blowing up your life, do what Bridger's suggesting. I think that would be fun and a real gas.
And the Berliner hasn't revealed their name, so they have an absolute cloak of secrecy right now. They continue. They do the manipulation. They do the advantage taking of.
Yes.
Do whatever you want.
And in this society, the real power that you have here is staying anonymous, which is what this person has done.
Yeah. They have not sold their data to the podcast.
No, so God bless.
We appreciate that.
God bless.
We answered it perfectly.
Yes, I think I would agree.
You know, we took a two-prong approach, mm-hmm. and now this person's thrilled.
Yes.
They better not write back.
And also, as a general note for other listeners, maybe stop writing in emails. Pritchard doesn't want these emails.
I clearly don't want another email.
Absolutely not.
I am hanging by a thread.
Here I am with egg on my face, bringing a gift like a freaking moron, because I got the name of the podcast wrong.
I'm sick to my stomach.
I mean, I commented, Bridger, you before on how great you look now. You're an ashen color. The blood has fallen out of your face. I mean,
I blacked out several times during the podcast. You've had to revive me.
And you're not going to hear that on the final product, listeners. Why? Because we had to edit those pauses out. But it absolutely happened, and we have the medical bills to prove it, because it cost $500
this
in this country.
It costs as much as to record an ambulance.
Yes. It costs even more now.
This is my personal tusk.
It is. This is your storms, and I think we can all agree.
Liam, I've had such a wonderful
Bridger.
Time with you. I'm so glad you could make it all the way from Vancouver.
This, I have to say, it was an absolute joy being on the show. It was lovely being able to meet you and Annalise and being able to like actually see you in person and do the show. It means a lot that you would make time for me, so thank you.
Of course, of course. It's the least I can do. It's the absolute least.
Listen, the least would have been honestly nothing, so this is actually incredible.
Thank you for being here, and thank you for this beautiful album.
Thank you. Even though I inadvertently disobeyed you, I hope you enjoy it. If and when you should ever get a record,
it's gonna be sitting somewhere, looking tasteful,
collecting dust.
Can't wait.
Absolutely, absolutely,
no, absolutely not. Thank you again.
Thank you,
listener. The podcast is over. You've got to do something else. Maybe you could listen to Tusk. Maybe you could sit in the quiet and just think about everything you've heard, process, you know, just think critically about the podcast today and the layers, etc. Do whatever you want. I'll be back again soon. I love you. Goodbye. I Said No Gifts is an Exactly Right production. It's produced by our dear friend Annalise Nelson, and it's beautifully mixed by Ben Tolliday. And we couldn't do it without our guest booker, Patrick Kottner. The theme song, of course, could only come from miracle worker Amy Mann. You must follow the show on Instagram at I Said No Gifts. I don't want to hear any excuses. That's where you get to see pictures of all these gorgeous gifts I'm getting. And don't you want to see pictures of the gifts?
Well, I invited you here. Thought I made myself perfectly clear. When you're a guest in my home, gotta come to me empty-handed. I said no gifts, your presence is presence enough. And I already had too much stuff. So how do you dare disobey me?
Follow I Said No Gifts on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. I really don't care. Just don't miss an episode. And if you like what you hear, rate and review the show. It's the least you can do. It really is. It's the bare minimum. Visit exactlyrightstore.com to purchase I Said No Gifts merch. What a wonderful way to support the show. Support the show!